Good morning, Great News Radio listeners. It is Wednesday, and this is the final program in our eight-part series of Rabbi Jesus. If you've missed any of the programs, simply log on to greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org. Under the archive links there, and catch up on some of the shows if you haven't listened to them, so that you can kind of understand where we're going and what we've been talking about. And again, I think I've said it most of the days, but if you have a friend and maybe something's really touched your heart, maybe yesterday as we talked about being merciful and we talked about inheritance and we talked about what it means to receive God's peace, maybe there's somebody in your life who really needs to hear that. Under that archive page, just simply cut and paste that link, put it in an email, send it off to them. Say, I'd love for you to listen to this, and then maybe we can sit down and talk. But right now, let's open God's Word and let's jump right in there and let's study out of Matthew chapter 5. And I believe we're in verse 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Boy, this is one of those Beatitudes that just really makes me think. So I want you to follow along with me on this one, because this one's really important, I think, because it says blessed. Now remember, blessed is ashrei, and it is lucky if there's no connotation of luck involved. I mean, it's as if you could go out to Vegas and you would win every single time and you'd go, wow, I'm so lucky. But really, truly, there was no way you could possibly lose. And when Scripture uses the word blessed, it's trying to say that with God, there's no way that you can possibly lose, though what you think winning is looks different to you and to God. You know, what I think is winning is not necessarily what God thinks is winning. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And this is directly tied to the temple psalms. I'm talking about how to worship God. In Psalm 24 and verse 4, it says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Psalm 84 and 8 says, hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. And then it says, Selah, which means to rest, to take a moment to reflect. And Psalm 15, which says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, who has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong, who casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts, who lends his money without surety, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent, who does these things will never be shaken. Psalm 15 there could almost be the job description of what it means to follow God. You know, Lord, who gets to dwell in your sanctuary and live on your holy hill? Well, those whose walk is blameless, those who do righteousness, those who speak the truth, not just from their tongue, but from their hearts, who does not slander, who does his neighbor no wrong, who loves his brother more than he loves his money, and who in all these things is not shaken. And those of you who are James Bond fans, not stirred. And what kind of people is this beatitude talking about? Well, it's talking about the true followers of God. Now, I want to right the ship on this a little bit, because some of you who are listening to me right now are saying, well, Jason, I understand that. I'm following along and I'm looking in Psalm 15, but I don't get it, because if that's the criteria for a true Christian, well, I mean, I've failed miserably. I mean, I have not done it. I mean, I've slandered sometimes. I really have. I mean, I have not walked blameless all the time. You know, I have not spoken the truth from my heart. Well, you know what? It's really hard to be perfect in a fallen world. It's really hard to be perfect in a world that's governed by Romans 3:23, which is, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's very hard to. And that's why God has this thing called grace. Grace, which is the unmerited favor of God. It's the gift that you and I don't deserve to receive. It's as if on Christmas morning, you've been bad all year long, and there's still a present beneath the tree for you. You've doubted and not understood, and you've wrestled and sometimes slandered and sometimes had real problems. And yet there is a gift beneath the tree called grace. There is a Savior and a Lord God who has his arms open, who is welcoming you back into the kingdom. You know, there are systems of religion, and I use that word intentionally, systems of religion that would have you to believe that somehow there's a big heavenly scoreboard and somebody's keeping track. You know, and right now God has 2 points and you have zero, or maybe you're in a negative number and you're losing, and you're no longer allowed into the kingdom of heaven. There is religious systems that would try and tell you that somehow you are not good enough for the kingdom of heaven. Because your walk is not blameless, because you have not spoken truth from your heart, because of these things. And yet this psalm says, he who does his neighbor no wrong, he who casts no slur on his fellow man. That means if you come across somebody who hasn't done the first part of this psalm, it's your job to help pick them up, dust them off, show them the grace of God, help them to come back into union and communion with God through communion and union with you. You know, often it's very easy to criticize and it's very easy to point the finger. And that same finger, you know, it's that popular phrase that the same finger you point at somebody, there is three pointing back at you. And this psalm and this beatitude are talking about the true worshipers of God. Those people who are attempting to walk blameless. Those people who are attempting to speak truth. Those people who are attempting righteousness. Those people who fear the Lord. Those people who are trying to keep God's oaths even when it hurts. Those people who don't worship their money, but they worship the love of God and His truth. And in that, they love people more than they love their money. And that in all these things, because the peace of God rests upon them, that they are not shaken and they are not stirred. That when bad things come, they're okay. These people in Psalm 15 are not perfect people, but they're following a perfect Savior. You know, I often tell people when they say, well, I'm just really struggling, I want to be perfect. I said, if you become perfect, you don't need Jesus, because you'll become your own Savior. Admitting the fact of our imperfections, admitting how we have fallen short, I think allows us to see Jesus even clearer. It allows us to have an even clearer need for a perfect Savior. Jesus goes on in verse 9 to say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Now, this is an interesting one here, because the Greek word for peace is enri, which means the absence of war. But Jesus, what he's talking about in this beatitude far surpasses the subject of violence, subject of war. The Hebrew word here, again, for peace is shalom. Blessed, asherei, are the shalom makers. Blessed are the shalom makers. And that has a greater range of meaning than just the absence of war. Because some of us would think the absence of war or the absence of strife or the absence of conflict, and there's where peace lies. But many of us need the peace of God. We rely on the peace of God in the midst of the storm. We rely on the peace of God in the midst of cancer, in the midst of somebody in our life passing away, in the midst of that relational problem, maybe divorce or maybe argument, whatever it is, we rely on the peace of God in that. And in doing so, it means to make us whole or complete. It's your spiritual health, the healing that came through your salvation, the remembering that God is for you and not against you, that He lifts you up and He holds you up, that He has provided for you today exactly what you need. You know, we talked about this in the third beatitude, the peace of God. You know, Rabbi Hillel, the father of the Mishnah, describes Aaron, the brother of Moses. And he says, and if we remember, Moses was appointed the priest of the people of God as these people were pursuing peace. And Hillel says in Tractate Avot, he says, be disciples of Aaron, loving peace and pursuing peace, loving each other and drawing them near to God's word, the Torah. and the essence of God through God's word. Listen to what Hillel's saying. He's saying, be disciples of Aaron, loving peace and pursuing peace, loving God and pursuing God, because this is the peace of God, the shalom of God. This is a peace that can only come through God Almighty. So you're loving God and you're pursuing God, and then you're loving others. Wait a second. Hillel sounds a whole lot like Jesus all of a sudden. Holy moly. Loving God, pursuing God, loving others, and then in loving others, drawing them near to God through his word. You know, it's a fascinating thing. You know, because peacemaker in the Bible is never used in relation to man. It's used in relation to God. Because God is the only peacemaker, the only true peacemaker. You know, I think about often, people will tell me that I'm a peacemaker. They say that it's one of my, I guess, my spiritual gifts. And sometimes I disagree with that. But there are people who say, boy, Jason, you're always a peacemaker. You always try and side on, if you can, making it better. And I'm going to tell you right now that anytime I'm able to do that, and I'm not perfect by any measure, so I want you to know that I fail miserably at this often, making peace. But anytime I've done it, it's only because I'm able to do it through God and with God. Because being a peacemaker takes a great degree of humility, a great degree of submission. James 4, 7 and 8, submit then to God and the enemy will flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It's my submission to God that the enemy no longer can come and disrupt the peace that we're trying to make. And God will draw near to me and I'll draw near to him. I'm pursuing him and seeking after him. And the Mishnah says, to make peace between man and man carries with it the fruit of this world and the resurrection of the world to come. You know, Jesus says later on in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you're going to the altar to offer a gift to God, and you realize that you have something against your brother, you have a problem with your brother, go to your brother first and reconcile it with your brother. And then, once you get that straight, come back and give God that gift. And what Jesus was saying is the same thing that this beatitude is saying. It's saying that blessed are the peacemakers, those who seek peace amongst each other because they're pursuing God and because they're loving God. And through God, they're able to make peace. And because of that, they're able to come and offer a gift to God that is a pure gift. You know, it almost speaks to the beatitude before that as you're doing this, as you're loving God and pursuing God, that you're also able to see God. It's powerful. You know, there is a Jewish song that we sing every Passover in our home and when we gather for a Passover meal. And it's called Osei Shalom. And everybody will have to forgive me ahead of time because I'm not one of those WGNN singing men. But it says, Osei Shalom Bimrumav Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu V'yako Yisrael v'imru amen. And then very Jewish-like, he goes, Yaseh shalom, shalom aleinu v'yako Yisrael. Yaseh shalom v'yako Yisrael. And the words I just sung is, he who makes peace in heavens, may he make peace for us and for all of Israel. And let us say together, let us say amen. Make peace for us all Israel. Let us say together, let us say amen. And then Jesus in verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice that in the preceding Beatitudes, the preceding verses, that Jesus has talked about the true worshipers of God, those who see God and those who are peacemakers for God. And so then Jesus would be cutting the boat short if he didn't say, now wait a second, when you do these things, you'll probably be persecuted or you'll probably be, people will probably see that, question that. And they may even slander or come after you for that. Now, that's one side of the Beatitude. The other side of the Beatitude is the fact that it's not always about persecution in terms of what we think it is. Persecuting in Hebrew also means pursuing. Pursuing. Isaiah 51 and verse 1 says, "Listen to me, those of you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, from the quarry from which you were hewn." Look to the rock. Whenever the Bible talks about earth, it's usually talking about the creation and God as creator. In good Hebrew poetry, things are always said twice. Abraham, Abraham, Peter, Peter, Martha, Martha. Pursuers of righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Now, the same word in Hebrew for pursue and for persecute, rodalphe. Now, that means that the Lord seeks after you. The Lord persecutes your sin and he seeks after you for your righteousness. Those who are persecuted are pursuing something that causes their persecution. One affects the other. Maybe you're pursuing things and are persecuted by debt. Do you understand that? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, flee the evil desires of youth, pursuing faith and love and righteousness and peace. It's the same thing here that this is saying. You be persecuted for your righteousness because you're not pursuing other things. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not pursuing other things. Like I said, maybe you're pursuing things, monetary, physical things, and you're being persecuted by debt. Maybe you're pursuing success and you're being persecuted by lack of success in your human terms. Maybe you're pursuing love and being persecuted by your thinking you're not good enough to be loved. For those of you who might be doing this, the message of this beatitude is that the kingdom of heaven is for now, not for the future. The kingdom of heaven is right now, and it's available to free you of these things, to free you of the things that you're pursuing that are persecuting you. Again, that peace of God that rests upon you as you pursue God, you love God, and you pursue God, and you go after God with the tenacity of those who love God. And again, Jesus takes it even further. He says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, they persecute you, they falsely say evil, all kinds of evil against you because of me." You know, that will happen. I've been in many places, particularly when I was in secular business, where, you know, because of my following of Jesus, because of my Christianity, because of my love for God, that it was water cooler talk. You know what I mean? I mean, people would gather around the water cooler and they would talk. Oh, here comes Jason. Oh, there's Jason. He's got a Bible on his desk. That Jason. Oh, he'll quote scripture. That Jason. He'll offer to pray for you. That Jason. And you know what? There were many times during that where I really got down. I mean, it was really hard. It was really hard to have people slander you and people to say things to you like that, to insult you behind your back, to persecute you, or to falsely make claims against you. And listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Blessed are you." Once again, lucky, if lucky has no connotation of luck at all. Lucky are you if people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Listen to this. The Bible says you're lucky if that happens. I mean, how does this fly against and in the face of what we believe? None of us would say right now, "Well, I'm really lucky if people slander me. I'm really lucky if people accuse me falsely. I'm really lucky when people insult me." But Jesus says at the end of this, "Because of me." Lucky are you when these things happen, these things that are negatives. Because you believe in me. Because of me, you're going to have tough days with people. Because of me, things are not always going to be easy. But lucky are you who follows me. Because my Father has many rooms in his mansion, and he's prepared one for you because of your belief. Because you believe. Because you say, "Lord, Lord." And people will rise up against you and they will say things. And Jesus knows that because he says in the final one, he says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they'll persecute you. You know, I often read the Bible and I think how true it is. Look, the Bible says there's people who will proclaim heresy. Well, there's people who will proclaim heresy. The Bible says there are people who will teach a false prosperity gospel. Well, there are people who do that. People who will slander who says God is. Those people exist. The Bible says all these things will happen because it's true. And what the Bible calls for us to do is to love God with our whole heart and love our brother and rejoice and be glad because great is our reward in heaven. You know, for some of us, this is as close to hell as we will ever get. This right now, what you're experiencing and where you're at is as close to hell as you will ever get. But I do have to say this to you right now, that for some of us, for some out there, this is as close to heaven as they will ever get, and hell awaits. And therefore, we must go, as Jesus said, and to share the gospel, to show the great reward of heaven for those who believe, so that we will have assurance that when we pass from this life into the next, that he who is faithful will deliver us blameless and faultless with great joy into his glorious presence. There are many who believe that this is heaven, and they're sorely wrong. I want to thank you for joining me over the last 8 days as we've studied this teaching Rabbi Jesus. Again, if you missed any of the shows, you can log on to greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org under the archive link. Cut and paste one of those links. Share it with a friend. And this is Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. Have a great day, a great night. And I just want you to know that I am praying for each one of you right now in Jesus' name.